Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Canyon City, Colorado. Join us now as our pastor, John McDonald, opens the Word of God to us.
Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 7. I think in honor of our Filipino missionaries, we ought to dress like they do in the Philippines tonight. How many of you know how they dress in the Philippines? Yeah, they don't wear a tie. They wear those nice cotton shirts, you know. I think they might even wear some flip-flops. Yes, Brother Ron.
My sister was a missionary.
Yes. Yes. It wouldn't fit. Extra big. The Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy is going to fall. The scientists travel to the town of Pisa every year to measure the building's slow descent. They report that the 179-foot tower, which was built in 1173, moves about 1/20 of an inch a year. And as it is currently measured, it is 17 feet out of plumb. So plumb being straight, 17 feet from plumb. Recent renovations may have saved the 810-year-old tower and prevent it from collapsing. Significantly, the word Pisa means marshy land, which gives some clue as to why the tower began to lean over before it was even completed. Also, another issue is the fact that its foundation is only 10 feet deep. You know why the reason the Leaning Tower of Pisa is called the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Because it's built on a faulty foundation. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And the passage that we've read today is about two builders who built two houses on two different types of foundations with two very different results. It's a tale of two builders. And in this parable, Jesus is teaching us that the foundation upon which we build the house of our lives is of the utmost importance. In fact, there's a trend in modern 21st century Christianity that says ignore the foundation and spend all of your time picking out the chandelier. I want to point out some elements of the parable that show us this morning why the foundation of your life matters. And by the way, preachers and pastors and parents, they're interested in the foundation. why you would go, wandering off and flitting off to pick out the hardware of the bathroom, the sink, colors, the paint. The Lord often uses authority in our lives to bring us back to that most important issue, and that is the foundation upon which we're building our lives. And so notice the elements with me today as we consider a tale of two builders. Number one, I want us this morning to consider the comparisons between the two builders. This short parable appears to speak of two very different types of people. I don't think I'm out of bounds by saying that those two kinds of people are here today. You are one of the two here this morning. And the two people that Jesus pictures here are, they have some very, very important characteristics in common, and I want to point them out and then make a few comments, and then we'll move on to the next consideration. The first thing that I notice here is that both of these individuals heard the words of Jesus. The two people in this parable both heard Jesus share his message of faith and repentance in verses 24 and verse 26. And so both of the individuals referenced in this parable knew the way of salvation. They both heard the gospel, and each one of them reacted to it. By the way, when the gospel is preached, you're going to have a reaction. And as I read this parable, there are really only two ways that you can go in respect or with respect to the preached gospel. And you know what? I think about the fact that Jesus preaching the gospel was reacted to negatively. I don't feel so bad. The second thing that I notice about the two builders that they had in common is that they both built houses. Each of these individuals built a house based on their understanding of what Jesus said. Now, did Jesus say something different to one person than he said to another? But they both heard two different things, didn't they? So the problem is not that God doesn't speak clearly. The problem is hearing. And each man built a life based on how they interpreted the message of Jesus Christ. This means that both of these individuals believe the message to a certain point. How do I know that? Because they reacted to it by building something. They each applied the words of Christ in their life as they deemed appropriate. The third comparison that I want to notice here, look at verse 27. It says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell." That describes a very, very severe storm. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, I understand the same storm beat upon both houses. And so I assume that they both built in the same subdivision. Right? They both built in the same location. They were both in very close proximity to one another. It's another similarity. Both built similar houses. There is nothing said about their houses being different. Then I'm going to assume that the house they built were very, very similar. They used similar materials, most likely a similar design. You know how some you go into some track areas, divisions, and they all look the same except for maybe a gable here or a little design here, but for the most part, their floor plans are the same. I suspect that that's the kind of subdivision that these gentlemen lived in. The picture is of people and how they respond differently to the gospel message. And I want to clarify this morning for you what the gospel is. It's very simple. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, you have to believe that before you're saved. The Bible puts it this way, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that same Lord Jesus that died on that cross, was taken from that cross, was buried, and rose again 3 days later in victory over sin, you must confess that Jesus. That Jesus that in the book of Leviticus, that our young people heard messages from all week, is pictured throughout the book, it's that Jesus. That one believes. Belief not being only a head knowledge, yes, I believe in my head. It is, Bible belief is not just knowing, it's depending. It's throwing your whole weight upon. Bible faith requires one not only to depend on Christ, but to exclude anything else. Him and Him alone. And confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised Him from the dead. The Bible says that thou shalt be saved. Salvation involves faith in the gospel. It involves repentance of sin and a willingness to yield to the lordship and control of Jesus Christ in our lives. So people that hear the message of the gospel, they react to it in two different ways. And by the way, there are people all across America today that are sitting in churches. And just because you're occupying a pew in a church doesn't mean you're responding to the gospel in the right way. There are a lot of houses going up. Some of them are on the wrong foundation. Regardless of how a person may react to the gospel, every single person are going to build their lives based on what they think Jesus is saying. Everyone is going to one day bow the knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, the Bible says, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone is going to be held accountable. The Bible says that He lighteth every man that comes into the world. There's not a person, man, woman, child, that's ever been born that did not know the difference between right and wrong. Romans 1 says that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. There is not a point in a person's life when they don't know God. The problem is they then glorify Him not as God, but what do? The Bible says they worship the creature rather than the Creator. And if the Church of Jesus Christ on the earth today were to shut their mouths, the Bible says the rocks would cry out and testify. Obviously, these people all build their houses in the same location. Well, what does that mean? That means they weather the same storms. That means they work the same jobs. They do the same things. They go to the same churches. They go and hear the same preaching. They live the same kind of lives. Understand this. From the outside, you can't tell much of a difference between the two hearers, can you? Obviously, the people pictured here are religious people. They're orthodox somewhat in their beliefs. They serve in and perhaps support the church. They're responsible citizens. They seem to believe the same things. They seem to live the same kinds of lives. They have really a lot in common, at least on the outside. Now we want to consider the contrast. And while there are several different similarities, there are some major differences between the two types of people. One man built his house on the sand. That indicates to me that this man built his house with very, very little preparation. He's found a spot for the house, and he began to build. And sand is, of course, unstable. It's ever-changing. It's moving. Sand offers no stability. Sand is not a good place to build a house. And sand, of course, can never provide a firm foundation. And in the context of this parable, building on sand speaks of people who hear the gospel, but instead of believing the gospel and coming to faith in Christ, they believe they can build their lives on some sort of a shifting sand of human reasoning. Some human philosophy, some wisdom, some opinion, some religious achievement. They're driven by outward religious appearances and faith in themselves rather than faith in the Lord Jesus. If you were to witness to the average person on the street, they would tell you they're good enough to go to heaven. But their faith is not in Christ. It's in a work. Or what they do is they compare their mediocre lives to somebody's whose life is worse than theirs, and they comparing themselves to someone else. Well, I'm not that bad. Well, really what we ought to do then is compare ourselves to the perfect sinless Son of God. They build their house of their lives on self-will. They build the house of their lives on self-fulfillment, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, self-righteousness. Their works-based religion has the appearance of being right, but it lacks the power to save the soul. You go to the South, what they call the Bible Belt, everybody's saved. My friend, the buckle has come off the Bible Belt. Having a form of godliness, says Paul, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They build on the sands. Why did he build on the sand? Because it was easy. Let me tell you something. I don't know if you know anything about some construction. I know a little bit about construction, and I lived in Florida long enough, and I saw them put those houses on the beach. They spent 3/4 of the time driving those pilings down through the sand and into the bedrock. It's a very, very expensive. I think some 60% of the cost to build a house on the beach goes into the foundation. Well, let's just skip that part. Let's just build right on the sand. It'd be easier. It'd be a lot cheaper, wouldn't it? I mean, we don't need that guy to come out here with his machine to take a 30-foot piling and drive it into the sand to find bedrock. Let's just do away with that part. It's easy. Let me tell you something. A message that comes from behind a pulpit that says that the Christian life is easy is dangerous. Requires a little effort. Just a little change here, a little change there. Well, I'll change this thing in my life. And hey, we certainly don't want to get down to bedrock on that issue. They can fool themselves and they can fool everyone else around them into thinking they're right with the Lord, but a life built on sand, requiring no commitment and no sacrifice and no faith, is not pleasing to the Lord. And He knows it. Do you know the people who build their lives on sand can even pray a prayer? They can sign a commitment card. They can even join a church. They can drop some money in the plate. But their works-based religion, having the appearance of being right, lacks the power that God intended their life to have. People who build on the sand can turn it on and off like flipping a switch. They're so spiritual when they come to church, but as soon as they leave, they're right back into the muck and the mire of the world. They have no foundation. They can be in today and out tomorrow, and in again the next day. Sand builders ultimately have faith in themselves. You know, when God makes demands on sand builders and He calls for total surrender to His will, do you know what comes from a sand builder when that takes place? I hear it all the time. Excuses. You want to know someone who's built their house on the sand? Wait for the excuse when God makes demands for total surrender. Jesus Himself encountered this very thing during His ministry. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest." Now that sounds great. I would love to have someone come up to me after the service and say, "Pastor, I want to follow the Lord wherever He'd send me, and I believe it's here, and so You have me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week." You want to get rid of your pastor, do that, because you'll die of a heart attack. And Lord Jesus said unto him, He says, "You know, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." And so here comes this man with all of this energy and excitement and zeal to serve the Lord. And Jesus says, "You're not going to have a place to sleep." Reality check, wasn't it? "But the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." And He said unto another, "Follow Me." There were some other people there that heard Jesus, this man's zeal, and Jesus kind of poured some water on his sand building. And Jesus looked around, "Follow Me." And this man said, "Well, suffer me to go and bury my father." What did Jesus say to him? "Let the dead bury their dead." And another man, "Follow Me." He said, "I'll follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at My house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man having his hand to the plow, put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus wasn't very politically correct when it came to this building the house thing, was He? He told it like it was. He exposed these people as sand builders. People who build their lives on religion and self-righteousness and false hope will not, listen to this, will not serve God. They will not sacrifice. They only walk the easy path. David Livingston said, "Send me somebody to help." The mission wrote back to him and said, "Tell us where the roads are and we'll send some help to you." And David Livingston wrote back and says, "I don't need men that need roads." They walk the easy path. Sand builders like instant results, instant rewards, instant satisfaction, instant pleasure. Sand builders want to sit at home and hope children show up to VBS without going out to get them. Does not the Bible say that we're all dead in our trespasses and sins? Is that what the Bible says? Dead people don't walk. You got to go get them. You know, when dead people walk into our church, you know why they walk into our church? They want money. They don't want the gospel. Now, I give it to them before they leave. Another man that built his house on a rock. The word rock refers to a large outcropping. It's the bedrock. And while one man built his house on the sand, the other dug deep. He took time. It took effort. He spent time on it. He did the dirty work. He ground it out. He got dirty. He rolled his sleeves up. He spent the money. He spent the time. And I'm sure he had some aching muscles at the end of the day. Say, Pastor, why do we have three services a week? It takes three services to get down to the bedrock. You know, they got drive-in churches. You can roll out of bed and not do a thing to your body, slither into your car and drive up to a screen and put a speaker on the window. And they have guys that go around on roller skates and collect the money. That's building your house on sand. I feel sorry for those people when the storm comes. This man, by the way, this same word, rock, this rock is mentioned in Matthew 16. He saith unto him, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that's the same word in Matthew 7. And that rock is Jesus Christ, and that rock is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I look around the world, I see a lot of people have built their house on the sand. You know what they need? They need the rock. And you need to tell them about him. Rock builders, of course, understand that Jesus alone is the power to save. Rock builders hear the Word of God and they conform their lives to it. They hear the Bible. They hear what the Bible says about Jesus and that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by me. And they hear that message and they receive it with all of their heart. And they run to Him. And they bow at the foot of a bloodstained cross and they see themselves as God says they are. And they agree. They repent. They turn. They accept Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They believe that. They hear that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. They hear, Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you a rest. You know what a person that builds his house on a rock does? He goes to Him and finds rest. And what God tells them to do in His Word, they do. What God warns them not to do, they avoid. They pay any price. They'll walk any path. They'll do anything the Lord tells them to do. And the house built on the rock is built by someone who realizes that God deserves the best. They sacrifice and they work. They do anything to honor the Lord. They love Him. They honor Him. They obey Him. The rock builder's obedience to the Word of God proves they love Jesus. John 14:15, if you love me, He says, you'll keep my commandments. Rock builders do that. By the way, this is how the redeemed know they're redeemed. And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments... Get ready for the non-politically correct word, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. How's a Christian to walk? Like Christ did. So there's two people, two vastly different lives based on how they hear and respond to the gospel. Now let's consider the consequences. The rains came, the floods followed, and the winds blew. And by the way, the image is not just about some storm in life. It's an image of judgment. In the end, both houses subjected to a terrible storm. One house stood, the other was totally destroyed. And not only that, it was destroyed as if it never existed. There's no remnant of it left. How proud we are of the houses we build on the sand. My friend, there'll be nothing left of it when it's put through the fire. Further foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, which is Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh, the Bible says, profiteth nothing. The sand builder is fleshly. It profiteth nothing. There'll be nothing left. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is Paul saying, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Nothing good. First Corinthians 3:13 talks about wood, hay, and stubble. And gold, silver, and precious stones. And when the fire comes, the wood, hay, and stubble is burnt up. Look at verse 24, the word therefore. Therefore. That word there ties the parable to the verses that come before it. And in Matthew 7 and 21 through 23, Jesus tells the tragic tale of some very religious people who built their lives on the sand. And these people faced God with all of their works and their self-righteous deeds. And the Bible says they were cast out of His presence. I think you need to know this. God doesn't accept sinners into His heaven based on their good works, based upon their pronouncements of goodness and their intentions. That's the problem with politicians. We elect them because of what they intend to do. Been disappointed lately? There's not going to be any of that in the presence of God in heaven. We're not there because of what we intended to do. We're there because of what Jesus Christ did and our faith in that. You can join the church and still go to hell. You can be baptized, still go to hell. You can be a good person, at least in the eyes of other people. And by the way, I think that's the problem with the sand builder. He was more interested in what people thought than what God knew. You can build your house on religion and still go to hell. You can build your house on atheism and human wisdom and human philosophies and anything else you can name, and you'll still die and go to hell. But you can build your life on faith in Jesus Christ and on His death and His resurrection, and your house will stand and you'll be saved. Do you think the person that built his house on the sand intended for it to fall? I mean, what kind of a fool, knowing that it's going to fall, would even spend time building it? I mean, there's an indication there that he had fully intended to live his life out in that house in safety and security. But let me tell you, building your house on anything other than Jesus Christ and His gospel will ensure failure. It's guaranteed. Brother Woodcock at youth camp drove home the fact that if you ignore the truth, you're still accountable for it. Doesn't change a thing. He spoke about Israel wanting a king. And Samuel went to the Lord about this, very concerned. And God says, give him a king. Let him have a king. And after God said, give him a king, the very next verse, God turns to Israel and said, follow me. Do what I say. Nothing changed, did it? They still had to obey God. Nothing changes, my friend. You can compare yourself to the rest of the world. Hey, they got kings. We need a king. God gave them a king, but nothing changed between their relationship to Almighty God and themselves. And the truth of the matter is this truth is the same today as it was when it was written, and it will always be true. It's time to bring in the inspector and look at the foundation of your life. You know, even Christians, we can have faulty foundations. We trust in our human wisdom. My friend, your plans are going to fail. And if in the eyes of the world you're an astounding success, in the eyes of God, you're a failure. And you'll be 1,000 years removed from life and in eternity, and no one will remember what you did. No one. But those who have built their lives on a foundation, on the rock, for all of eternity, God will remember what you did. And you will too, because it was your faith in Him that put you in His presence for all of eternity. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. What kind of a builder are you? What have you built your life on? If you're building a house on anything but Jesus Christ and the gospel, it is going to fall. It might look sturdy. It might look very beautiful, very ornate. The materials might be the finest materials you could possibly purchase and use in a home. It might be pleasing to the eye. Everyone else might think the house is just fine. But it's built on the wrong foundation. It is going to fall. And when it falls, all of that work will be lost forever. And indeed, your soul might be lost forever. Beware anyone who says that salvation is anything but by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Maybe this morning, so Pastor, you know, I'm saved, but in my relationship to the Lord, I look like a guy or an individual that's building his house in the sand. There's very, very little reliance upon the Lord in my daily activities. I spend next to no time at all in the Word of God, which, by the way, is the rock upon which we're to be building our lives. My friend, if you're not spending time in His Word, you're building your life on sand. I'm talking about consistently. If you're not hearing the words of Christ, if you're not reading the Word of God, and having the Spirit of God prompt you to conform your life to it, my friend, you have a faulty foundation. It's not good enough to piggyback onto someone else's relationship to the Lord. These two men, they're only two men. They're both accountable for the work they did. They did the work. They did the building. They're accountable. This morning as a Christian, you say, Pastor, I'm ignoring the foundation of my life. I spend more time with things that are temporal than with things that are eternal. I want my life to count for something. The Spirit of God has spoken to my heart. There's some things I need to change. I need to devote more of my time to bedrock. So, Pastor, the Spirit of God has spoken to my heart. Can I see your hand? Just put it where you are. Just put it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, of all the people in this building, only one has a problem with not having their priorities right. I really find that hard to believe. When was the last time you led a soul to Christ? Even verbally testified of what the gospel of His grace has done in your life, verbally to an individual. There's an indication of a faulty foundation there. How much time do you spend in His Word every day? Is it consistent? Do you meditate? Do you devote time to it? Maybe you're here today, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm even saved. And if that's true, my friend, let me tell you, your house is on the sand. There'll be nothing left for all of your effort. Today you say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I'm interested. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that today say, Pastor, I'm not sure. God bless you. Amen. Wonderful. Anyone else say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Now, maybe there'd be someone here who would say, Pastor, as a Christian, I know this is important, and I'm going to redouble my efforts. I want to be more sensitive to what I do with the life God's purchased with His blood. One, amen. Anybody else? Amen. Father, help us today to get our discernment right. Help us to not be satisfied with this external, outward facade of religiosity and theological correctness. Father, may the Spirit of God dig deep into our hearts and our motives. And it's amazing how we can so ignore the plain teachings of God's Word. Help us to be builders of houses on bedrock and not on sand.